All Charles Haddon Spurgeon needed to do was accept the clear teaching of Scripture on the believer's security, as upsetting as it might be to him. Spurgeon and other once saved, always saved teachers are actually placing a snare before all who listen to their message of an unconditional security for the believer. Please note what the Scriptures teach about an oversense of security. Quote, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Unquote. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 4. By its own admittance, Spurgeon's personal belief in the Calvinistic doctrine of the perseverance of the saints prevented him from becoming, of all men, most miserable. Imagine that. Spurgeon said, quote, "I do not know how some people who believe that a Christian can fall from grace manage to be happy. It must be a very commendable thing in them to be able to get through a day without despair. If I did not believe in the doctrine of the final perseverance of the saints, I think I should of all men be the most miserable because I should lack any ground of comfort." Unquote. Dear friend, please know that truth, as recorded in the Bible, should be our quest and not what makes us happy. Some doctrines in the Bible are very disturbing, like eternal conscious torment awaiting the lost beyond the grave. But it's still true. Truth is not always easy to receive. Also, Spurgeon took part of a scripture from the KJV out of context and somehow in his mind connected it to the Calvinistic perseverance of the saints, a teaching which is not found in Scripture. Below is what the Apostle Paul actually wrote and which Spurgeon used out of context. Quote, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Unquote. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 from the KJV. Paul was teaching there that a Christian's hope in Christ extends beyond the grave and is in no way even slightly connected to the perseverance of the saints, as Spurgeon suggests, especially since the perseverance of the saints is a heresy. Furthermore, as already cited, Spurgeon wrote, quote, "It must be a very commendable thing in them," speaking of Christians who believe they can fall from grace, "to be able to get through a day without despair," unquote. But Paul and other early Christians were rejecters of the perseverance of the saints' doctrine and yet were not overcome with despair, as Spurgeon suggests. Instead, they walked in the fear of God themselves, as they also worked out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2 verse 12 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Regarding falling from grace, the Apostle Paul clearly believed such did occur to some of the Galatians who were at that same point alienated from Christ. "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." That's Galatians chapter 5, 2 through 4. How could Spurgeon or any Calvinist truly be sure of heaven? Though they might speak or write of salvation assurance, such really is not consistent with Calvinism. According to their own theology, Spurgeon and other Calvinists might have been mere reprobates all along and only been given by God an evanescent grace, as Calvin termed it. Calvin wrote this, quote, "Experience shows that the reprobate are sometimes affected in a way so similar to the elect that even in their own judgment there is no difference between them. Hence, it is not strange that by the apostle a taste of heavenly gifts and by Christ himself a temporary faith is ascribed to them. Not that they should perceive the power of spiritual grace and the sure light of faith, but the Lord, the better to convict them and leave them without excuse, instills in their minds such a sense of goodness as can be felt without the spirit of adoption. There is a great resemblance and affinity between the elect of God and those who are impressed for a time with a fading faith." Still, it is correctly said that the reprobates believe God to be propitious to them, inasmuch as they accept the gift of reconciliation. Though confusedly and without due discernment, not that they are partakers of the same faith of regeneration with the children of God, but because under a covering of hypocrisy, they seem to have a principle of faith in common with them, nor do I even deny that God illuminates their mind to this extent. There is nothing inconsistent in this with the fact of his enlightening some with a present sense of grace, which afterwards proves evanescent. Unquote. In light of John Calvin's teaching, the salvation assurance that Calvinists speak of is mere empty words, since they won't really know until the very end of their lives if they were elect or not. Perhaps God just granted them an evanescent grace in which they feel saved but really aren't. By teaching like this, Calvinists shockingly portray the God of the Bible, who cannot lie, Titus 1:2, as forcing untrue feelings on some people in order to deceive them. Imagine that.